It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Belger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
No, I don't think you can allay fears that we have free agency in baseball, and we have a lot of young players who will mature at the same time. We won't be able to, mature for free agency. We won't be able to keep all of them. It's just that simple. We may have the largest payroll in baseball, but even then you can't keep all of your players the way free agency works.
Hour number two, Felger and Maz on this holiday Monday. Murray's alongside, Felger's off today. Tim McBone here to give us headlines. 617-779-0985. That was John Henry down at the picnic benches at Fort Myers today. And stating something I think we all know, but when someone that owns a team comes out and says it, I just think that part of it is worth mentioning. It's not the biggest news of the day down there, if you ask me. But Henry comes right out and says, look, the reality is we get a bunch of guys up for contracts. We're not going to be able to keep them all. Okay, you get the owner of the team now pretty much saying that point blank. We're not going to be able to keep them all. It's just, it doesn't work that way. Not in free agency, not in this day and age. And so if you're a Red Sox fan and you think that they were going to keep this group together for 5 more years, I think you need to adjust your expectations, get them a little more realistic, because they're not going to keep all these guys. And I question whether they all want to stay. They say that they do, but we played some of the sound from the other day. Mookie Betts doesn't really sound like he wants to stay. David Price is staying, but he'd have opted out if he could have.
The market wasn't what it is.
Right. If he could have made better money somewhere else or comparable money somewhere else, he'd have gone. But it's just not out there.
Yeah, so from his own personal interest and business standpoint, I don't blame him.
So the market's thin. But these guys are young. They're talented. Bogarts, Betts, J.D. Martinez is up at the end of the year. Sale is up at the end of the year. The Red Sox aren't going to keep these guys. Now, interestingly, Tom Warner did say at one point today down there that discussions are ongoing, or we've had those discussions, or we're having them, but we're going to keep them private. So they're talking contract with some of these guys.
Well, Xander Bogarts is one of the names that came up.
So, right, and he made some comments over the weekend about wanting to stay here, and he's a free agent at the end of the year, Murray. But the one that really caught my attention concerned Chris Sale, okay? Henry was asked, and this cut is about a minute. It leads into a second question about John Lester. And I think the context is important. Because when this first happened at about 1:30 or so, when the sound came out of Fort Myers, one of the quote-unquote headlines out of this year's little picnic bench was the Red Sox admitted that they blew the John Lester negotiation. Okay? So you hear that. When I say to you, Murray, the Red Sox have admitted that they blew the John Lester negotiation, what is your instinctive reply?
Well, duh.
Okay, exactly. Exactly. Thanks. Have you heard about the Lindbergh baby? Yeah. Didn't know that. Of course you did. We all knew that, and you had to spend through the notes for David Price, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, you totally blew it. No questions about it.
The sun also bright. Water is wet. We get it, John Henry. Yeah, we know that.
Okay, and that's not really the story.
there is news value in that statement today. I'll explain to you what it is. So this exchange started with Henry. And again, the context is important. But Steve Buckley, I think, asked him about Sale initially. But go ahead, Mason, play it.
You have been on record in the past about being reluctant to submit to players 30 pitchers.
Mason, stop it for a second. It's actually Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal. Okay, so start it over. Yeah. Buckley asked something else. I got them mixed up. But it's Sean McAdam talking to Henry. And listen to the line of questioning. Go ahead.
You have been on record in the past about being reluctant to submit to players 30, pitchers in particular, 30 or older, the John Lester situation. You then later signed David Price. Is it fair to say that, you know, your thinking on that has evolved a little bit, or does Chris fall out of the norm for you and isn't as big a risk?
I think Chris falls out of the norm because he's just such a great, not just a great pitcher, but a great part of it. The team, as we saw in the World Series, he had quite an impact just being on the bench of the World Series. So he's a special player. We would love to be able to sign him. I think he would like to as well. But there are the realities of the marketplace. And
stop. Okay, so McAdam says, you know, you have this thing about pitchers in their 30s. Is Chris Sale an exception? And Henry says, well, he's an exception in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, we see his value in the dugout. Do you remember when he aired out the Red Sox in the dugout during the World Series? Right? So Henry implying there were leadership elements. And so I'm listening to this and I'm saying to myself, okay, so what, they're making a case for why they might be interested in re-signing him because
he's got stones.
Right. And he's got leadership qualities and he's different than your 30-year-old pitcher for this reason, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sort of sitting there going, this is all bullcrap. Bull crap, they're not going to sign Chris Sale. They don't want to sign Chris Sale, and they shouldn't sign Chris Sale. To do it right now would be foolish. The guy's coming off a shoulder injury, et cetera, et cetera. Like, why do that? I mean, that makes no sense. So I feel like Henry at this point is just paying lip service. Go ahead, Mason.
But there are the realities of the marketplace and budgets. And this is his opportunity to be a free agent, so potentially, which we'd like to avoid, but I think he would as well, so something could happen.
Does everything you just said sort of apply to John Lester a few years ago?
Stop there, real quick, Mason. Stop. So again, I don't know if people could hear the question that clear. That's Buckley. Okay, that's Steve Buckley, the Herald, saying, well, everything you just rattled off there could not have applied to John Lester a few years ago. And as we all know, the Red Sox let Lester go. He was in his 30s or right around 30. They didn't want to pay him the contract. And then a year later, they had to give a boatload of money to David Price, who was the same age that John Lester was when they let Lester walk. Okay, so it was as if the Red Sox said, well, we screwed up by letting our ace go. Now we got to go out and pay out the nose for another ace in David Price. And not only that, we got to pay him more. And it took him 3 years to figure out how to win a postseason game on top of it. Nonetheless, Henry does admit, you hear Buckley say, well, couldn't you have said the same thing about Lester?
I think we blew the John Lester. We blew re-signing him in spring training. So for reasons that are pretty apparent now, which I won't go into, but they're apparent.
Okay, so, and to me, that's Henry throwing Lucchino under the bus.
Look out for that bus, Larry.
So really, that's what it is. It's, Larry screwed it up. We lowballed him in spring training. 4 years and $70 million, that blew it up, and that was the end of that. Okay, fine, Lester walked. But we have all thought to this point, Murray, that the John Lester decision had largely to do with the fact that he was 30 years old. Right?
And that was universally accepted.
Okay, and that relates to comments that Henry had made in Forbes magazine, I think it was, or one of the financial magazines, about how it was a bad investment to put money in a player's 30-plus.
Right.
Okay? Fine. We all assume that it was all sort of part of the strategy. They were going to let Lester go, and then they undersold the impact that he had on the team, and then they had to go out and get Price. But now, the fact that he's telling us this now is actually noteworthy and newsworthy. Because I think what he's saying is, no, we blew it with Lester. We've learned our lesson. We're going to try to pay Sale. And I didn't think they were going to do this. So I don't know how you guys felt, but to me, Chris Sale was going to hit free agency at the end of this year. His contract's up. He's coming off a bad shoulder in the World Series. And so we looked at it at the end of the second half of the season, not just the World Series. Sale didn't pitch in the second half. Not really. 30 innings or something like that. Then all, and then he's going into the final year of a contract. And you'd say, why would you give him a contract extension then? And Mason, I'm throwing this at you on the fly here, but Henry is actually asked about Sale's injury also down there today, right? There's a cut in the system. Let me know when you have it. So I add all of these things up, and when Henry's asked about the injury to Sale, he says this.
Sale's obviously currently has some shoulder issues. Does that concern you in a long-term commitment to him?
No, he's healthy. He had minor issues. They ended up taking a bit of time. He needed some rest at one point, but he hasn't had any significant shoulder issues. Significant.
Okay, so I heard that and went, again, a little bit of information there, because none of us ever really knew what the injury was. The Red Sox didn't tell us. Sale was out there. We assumed it was some sort of inflammation or tendonitis in the shoulder. But whenever it's a shoulder, you start to worry about rotator cuff, labrum, like, you know, significant injuries that require surgery and repair. And now a pitcher is going to miss a significant period of time. And unlike elbows, shoulders don't always come back. So you've got all these variables coming in with Sale. Henry sits here and says, nah, it was a minor thing. I mean, he's healthy. He's fine. So,
and they don't really know.
So, but I wonder, I mean, first of all, they give all these guys physicals when they come in. They do all sort of strength and flexibility and range of motion tests, along with, if necessary, MRIs or other exams. I mean, they'll do that if they feel the need. All I'm telling you is this. They're going to try to sign Chris Sale this spring. And
I would prefer that they didn't. Look,
go, Murray, go.
They have to see how he looks come August. You can't. I would hate to see them do this right now. I get it. Like, he's meant a ton to this team. The lasting image that we had of him from last season is buckling Manny Machado on the last pitch to, you know, wrap up the World Series against the Dodgers. All great. And until he broke down in August, he was nails. But considering his physical makeup and that shoulder issue, I think the thing that they should do is wait. And I know that's probably unfair to him and maybe might even piss him off. And he's obviously a fiery guy. You know, it doesn't take much for him to go in and start shredding the uniforms. He didn't like him. It's a comfort thing. Like, you want to keep Chris Sale happy. I understand that. But to do this now, I think it's fiscally irresponsible, considering all the guys that I would like to see them bring back. And I think most Red Sox fans would. And I think Sale's important. But you have to wait to see how he looks towards the end of the summer. Don't do it now.
McBone, would you sign Sale?
No, I'm with Murray, too. This is a guy that you've had to manage at age 28, 29 to make sure he's there towards the end of the season. And now you're going to invest in him long-term north of 30. Like, I feel like this is going to be the definition of one of those contracts where you look back 2 years from now and go, oh, my God, we still have 3 years left on this deal. This is unbelievable.
Right.
I'll tell you what, when I heard all this sound right before the show today, and again, it all landed just a little before we came on the air. So some people might be, you know, haven't even heard it yet or aren't even aware it's out there. And in some cases here, we're hearing it for the first time, right? Like, I don't know if you guys even heard it before we came on. I listened to it before the show. They're going to sign Sale. They're going to try to sign Sale. And of the guys that they have as free agents, J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, Chris Sale. Sale might be fourth on my list. I'm with you two. Don't give this guy the money. What are you, stupid? You can't give this guy the money. Not with his history. Not with his build.
No, and then McCone nailed it. Just these last couple of years, the numbers inflate towards the end of the summer, and there's a physical breakdown there. You can't do it. The number one guy is Betts, right? Like, that's the guy that you need to float a contract at right now. See if he's into it. And if he's not, well, then he obviously doesn't want to be here. And then Bogart. Like, I'm with you. He's fourth on the list where any of these guys are going to be up. That they do him maybe before anyone else, like, that makes no sense to me.
See, when the Red Sox
they'll regret it.
When the Red Sox talk about John Lester, it isn't admitting a mistake from 4 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever the hell it was. I guess it was 2014, right? So it's 5 years ago now. That's not what this comment was about today. This comment isn't about admitting a mistake from 5 years ago. This comment is John Henry telling us, no, we actually wanted Lester. The whole 30-year-old pitcher thing, we don't necessarily believe in that. And Chris Sale's now 30, and we need him. And this is the part that worries me. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. I'll tell you the part of this story that really worries me with Chris Sale, because I wouldn't sign him right now. And the Red Sox may not have a choice. We'll explain when we come back.
England Fat Loss.
Yeah, no.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bogarts is an extraordinarily great player. Sale, Mookie Betts. We'd love to be able to have long-term contracts with all of them, but our conversations with them, which are ongoing, are private, and I think that's the best way to consummate a deal if one can be made.
So that's Tom Werner. Again, our conversations with them, which are ongoing, he says. Chris Sale, Mookie Betts, Xander Bogarts, all free agents in the next, 18 months, essentially. And you have Werner there saying it, too. There's no way the Red Sox keep all these guys. But the one that is revealing is the comment about John Lester. And again, not because John Henry is admitting a mistake from 5 years ago. The what's revealing is that John Henry is saying, well, we wanted Lester. We butchered that when we screwed it up. And so we're willing to do it again with a guy who's in his 30s.
Do you feel like they're almost pot committed with Chris Sale with this contract that they seemingly want to give him because of how much they gave up for him? Kopech, Moncada, all those prospects. I know I remember at the time you kind of weren't into it because you felt like it was too much. Sale, a stud. They've now won a World Series. They were proven correct, in my opinion. But to give him another contract, at least now, it makes no sense. You have to see how that shoulder holds up this summer.
I mean, that's how I feel. I feel like the guy's breaking down. I think that last year was the first sign that all of a sudden you're going to see Sale deteriorate. And he's been a first-half pitcher his whole career. That's nothing new.
But do you feel like they almost have to invest more because of how much they gave away?
So this is part of what I was saying just at the end of the last segment. The part that should scare you, Murray, is not just what they traded away for him. Because by the end of that, going into the offseason when they acquired Sale, I was done with Moncada. I said, get rid of this guy. He can't play. I mean, at least There's athleticism there, but defensively at third base, if you remember
the butcher.
Oh my God, he was a butcher. Was like a, I mean, use any trade you want, butcher, plumber, shoemaker, like cobbler, anything you want. He was an absolute train wreck at third base, and there's a lot of ability there. Kopech struck me as a guy who throws 100 miles an hour that can't throw strikes. We'll see how that one goes. Okay, so there's a variable there with Kopech. The thing that should really worry about Chris Sale and the Red Sox at the moment, I'm not sure they have any other options. They have nobody coming in the minor league system. What pitching prospect do they have coming? What ace is on the way? There isn't. John Curtis, John Curtis. Is that his name? Who's the lefty kid from John Curtis is an old
one. No, that's not him. It's the kid that got...
Jay Groom,
that's what
it was. John Curtis was a guy that they drive. Never mind.
There were some drug issues there, and he blew out his arm last year, right?
He did, correct. And even then, he wasn't pitching well. So the point is, they don't have pitching prospects. So no matter what they're going to do to fix your pitching staff, it's going to require money. So they probably look at Sale and say, nope, let's take a good look at that shoulder. Let's see what it looks like from last year. And it's fine. Are you guys sure? Yep, okay. Well, we're either going to pay him or we're going to pay somebody we don't know anything about. We made this mistake with Lester, so let's not make it again. And I think with Sale, it would be a mistake. Let's go back to the phones. Tom's in Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, Tony? What's up, Jim? Hey,
hi.
Tony, the reason why they need to sign Sale, you could get, he's got a year left. You extend him now. The way the market's going, the money sucks for these guys right now. They're not getting long-term deals. You sign them up, 2-3 year extension. You keep him and Price together, 1-2 in the rotation. You need pitching to beat the rest of the American League. So I would rather, I value his ability starting pitcher-wise over the position players that they have pending, because I don't think that they're going to keep Betts. I don't think that they're going to, he wants to be here long-term anyway. Bogart's another one.
Tom, listen, I'm going to stop you there only because you can mitigate a hitter in the lineup. There's 8 other guys who bat, and when you go through the batting order. But when you lose an ace or you lose a stud in your rotation, you're kind of screwed. I mean, you're sort of up the creek, and they have nothing coming to be able to replace this guy. So now that I think of it, Chris Gasper of the Globe was in here on Friday. Gasper offered up a pretty good scenario, Murray, as it pertained to Mookie Betts. And he said the current labor agreement between owners and players clearly favors the owners. Players are getting screwed. Why not go to a guy like Key Betts and say, look, if you go into free agency after 2020, you're not going to get the deal you want. Bryce Harper's not getting it. Manny Machado's not getting it. So you know what? Why don't you sign with us through 2021, give up one of your free agent years, then go into a free agency a year later when the bargaining agreement's up, and maybe you'll get your money then. So you can use that uncertainty to your advantage. Maybe they can do the same with Sale. Maybe they can go to Sale and say, hey, look, you're going to be a free agent this fall. Look at what the market's been like the last 2 years. So you know what? Sign with us for two. We'll give you, two for 70 and an option for 40 million or whatever, like something like that. And you can go and appeal to Sale on those grounds and say, then when you hit the market, if you're still pitching well, you'll get a ton of money because you're not going to get it next year either way. Do you think he'll do it?
Yeah, I do. I do. Sale? Yes, I think Sale would. Betts? I don't know. Part of me wants to see this. This is why I loved this idea from Gasper on Friday, and we talked about it on our show on Saturday, too, is I would want to see them do it now because it truly does put the screws to Betts. And right now, with the way that the market looks, like you say, because it's amazing to me that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper and Craig Kimbrell, these guys are still out there. If he doesn't accept that, it truly means he doesn't want to be here. Like, you have to dangle that bait in front of him now with that deal, which I think is fair to Betts. If he doesn't take it, he didn't want to be here. Sale, I think Sale takes it.
I mean, it would be a good approach with both of those guys. And, part of me wonders whether Sale would take it. He's a kind of cat. He's a little different. And I think, because he's not going to get a five-year deal.
I really think that he's one of these guys, and when he talks about, wanting to be in the best place to give him an opportunity to win, like, he really means that. I think he is that type of dude. I'm with you on that. And he's wired differently. It's not just about the money for him. So this obviously grants him the best opportunity to do just that, to win another title or two, right? So I think that they should do it. I think Sale would do that. I wouldn't want to see it happen now. You have to me, again, wait to see how it looks come August, right? Like, again, you've had two now breakdowns and one that was incredibly scary last year. It felt like he wasn't even going to be back for the playoffs at all. You can't do it now. It just feels – it reeks of irresponsibility for me.
I mean, it does. It scares the crap out of me, too. I don't know. I would give him anything right now. Let's go to it's a re-entry Monday, so let's go to Josh in Haverhill. Josh, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, Murray, McBone, Mason, the lovely Kristen Souza, little Celtics, little Red Sox. You don't trade Tatum for anything. Kyrie showing up to the All-Star game, like Christian Arkan said, is a good sign. Means the injury isn't that bad. And as far as Dustin Pedroia goes, if he plays more than 81 games, I will dance outside with a brand new pair of Red Sox footy pajamas because I am highly doubting that.
I am, too. That they were talking last week was Dave Dombrowski. Well, Alex Cora kind of tempered it a bit, but, Dombrowski was out there saying 120 games for Dustin Pedroia this year. Let's start at, like, 60 and see if he can even get to that.
Last year he played three.
Three games.
I'm wondering if even 60's high, Murray, if you want to know the truth. That feels like a big number to me. John's in Maine on Chris Sale. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, real quick, how long do you think a contract for Sale would take? How many years for term?
So I think to make it worth his while right now, you got to offer him 3 years and $100 million. That's what I think.
Okay, so this is what I'm kind of thinking here. If Boston were to re-sign him, they're probably not going to have a main closer in the future. So,
hey, John, I'll tell you what. Don't go down that road. Chris Sale's a starting pitcher. He's not a closer. But you're not going to. No, hold on. Can you just stop talking for a second? Hold on. Okay, hold on. You're not going to pay him $30 million a year plus to close. That's crazy. My question to you is, would you give him three, if he would take it, would you give him 3 years and 100 right now? Would you do it? You, John?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you don't have any concerns about his shoulder at all?
No, I have concerns about health, but for 3 years, that's really short-term money versus going out, getting a young stud that could probably cost you 8 years, and the same thing could happen to them.
Okay, so I wonder if the 8-year deals are gone. I don't know if teams are going to do that anymore. And the reason I ask you whether you would do it, because Murray, you're against it, right?
What, signing him right now?
Signing Sale.
I want to wait until the summer. I want to wait until after this season. I think you deal with him after the season. I understand, like, that's a risk. You might upset him, but you can't worry about that right now because of the way his shoulder looked at the end of last year. And you've had two, even going back
years prior. The numbers go up as the summer goes on. You got to wait. Don't do it now. There's more important fish to fry.
So, look, I wouldn't sign Sale right now either. Again, what I'm fearful of is that the Red Sox feel like they don't have a choice because they have no pitching coming. Because you might be able to talk Chris Sale into 3 years and $100 million right now. You might be able to do that. But when the caller says, oh, it's no big deal, you can absorb the loss, can you? Because I look at the Red Sox right now and where their payroll was last year and where their payroll is now, we're all sitting here saying, well, they're going to go with this whole new approach in the bullpen with young guys. Maybe the real reason they're doing that is because they don't have the money. I mean, they're still paying Pablo Sandoval. He's $19 million a year. They're paying Pedroia. He's $14 million. Who knows if he's going to play?
And still on the books for, what, three?
Yeah, it's this and at least one more.
It is two more after this one, so yeah.
Okay, so three then, Murray. You're right. And then on top of it, you look at and you say that Bruce Lee Castillo's not counting against the luxury tax, but they're still paying him $10 million a year. And I think the actual cash outlay in that is even higher. So we can talk about it like it's play money with Chris Sale. You can do that if you want. But the reality is it's 30, let's call it $33 million a year. Okay, 3 for $100 to me feels like a good number for him if you're going to give him a 3-year deal that expires. And maybe you can entice him to do it now and give him a little bump in pay now. Maybe that's how you appeal to him on that way. But if he can't pitch, hell yeah, it's going to hurt. Of course it's going to hurt. Pablo Sandoval hurts. He's half of that or 40% of it.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Get right back to your phone calls here. A couple things we've talked about so far. The weekend in the NBA, the All-Star game. That absolute stoogery with Anthony Davis on Saturday, if you ask me. And then Kyrie Irving, it feels to me like he's a foot closer to the door every time he opens his mouth. Every time he opens his mouth. If you haven't read Gary Washburn's column in the Boston Globe today, you should read it. You should read it. Because that thing to me is just littered with all kinds of stuff that should make you really scratch your head about Kyrie Irving. And I don't mean as a guy. I just mean the whole Kyrie Irving in Boston experience, whether or not he wants to be here, what he really wants to be in the league, and whether the Celtics are a fit. Now, Murray knows this. I said this at the end of last week. I want him. Kiss his ass. Do whatever you have to do to keep him here. If Kyrie's here and Kyrie's happy, other players will come play with Kyrie. He's that good. Okay, I believe he's that good.
I'm with you on that, too.
And so, but the reality is that it feels to me like the Celtics are fighting a losing battle. That's what it feels like. We'll see where this thing ends up, but it doesn't feel good at the moment. I'm stunned that people are optimistic about Anthony Davis after what happened at the NBA All-Star game over the weekend. I'm more pessimistic than I've ever been. Pete's in Boston. Pete, go.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, Pete, I'm going to let you go. You want to call Adam Jones? Yep.
Kid-free during the day. Call the night program.
617-779-0985. Adam Jones from 6 to 11 with Christian Arkham right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Michael's in Brookline. Go ahead, Michael.
How are you?
It's a total dink move, isn't it, Murray?
Oh, no.
It really was, because I basically said that the reading between the lines, if you didn't know, you know, how you guys deal with, you know, kids and stuff, that's, you know, what it sounded like. But anyway, see, Chris Sale to me has never been about the last dollar. He signed a bad contract with the White Sox, and you never really heard him say a word about it. He basically said, I signed the contract that I signed, and it is what it is. He is a straight shooter as opposed to like Kyrie Irving, who isn't. So I think when you go to him and you say, look, Chris, we want to negotiate the parameters for a deal, you know, and you work on that, but you say, we can't sign it till August. You've had these issues. We want to just, you know, cover ourselves. You know, if August comes around and everything's fine, this is the deal we'll sign. Why can't they do that?
They can, and he probably would be willing to accept it, or at least I'd like to think, but the thing that gives me pause is how he was talking about Craig Kimbrell late last week. Like, he's one of these guys that's obviously pissed about the fact that the way Major League Baseball looks right now and how guys are still floating out there, where a few years ago, someone like Bryce Harper, I thought, was going to end up getting a deal, you know, close to $500 million. These guys are pissed. Chris Sale's one of these guys. Like, he finds it, you know, reprehensible that someone like Craig Kimbrell's out there floating in the wind without a job, and, you know, we're a week into spring training here. So, yeah, you could try, but you run the risk of pissing him off, too. We'll get to you, Chris, but, you know, we just want to see how the shoulder holds up. Like, kind of a delicate situation, it feels like.
Yeah, look, this is a guy who, remember, with the White Sox, he got so mad at ownership and management there, he cut the uniforms to a million pieces.
And that was over the stupid alternate uniform that he thought was too heavy and hot.
So, I don't know, maybe he's the kind of guy that wouldn't take a team-friendly deal, now that I think of it. I don't know. He's a hard one to figure. I think that Sale will, you know, you'll get Sale's best. I don't have any concerns about that. I just wonder what kind of shape he's going to be in at the end of all this. Craig's in Quincy. Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, two quick points. So about the Celtics, do you think given that New England fans in general are so placated by the string of success in all our various teams the past 15 years or so, that it would be in the best interest of the Celtics to just make whatever moves they need to get a championship short term and not worry so much about, you know, building something up for the future? And second thing, Joe, you and Jasper forgot to tweet your favorite Simpsons episodes.
Okay, it's Jim, not Joe.
Wrong Murray.
Yeah.
What was he getting at? Oh, no, I'm for the short term, the short term thing with the Celtics right now. And I think that's what Danny Ainge is trying to do. This is why he's chasing Anthony Davis. Look, okay, the long term play here is to, you know, just let Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum continue to build, you know, and hope that Jason Tatum becomes a top 10 player. And we just have, you know, maybe Kyrie Irving walks, and we'll just figure it out from there. We'll continue to draft. Like, no, I think he's going for the short-term solution in hopes that will become long-term. You get Anthony Davis here, you convince him to stay, and hopefully that keeps Kyrie Irving happy.
So, see, I think they're both long-term. And when I say both, that at the end of the day, I don't think the Celtics are going to make the deal for Anthony Davis unless they think they can re-sign him. So to me,
I think they're willing to take that risk, and if it doesn't end up panning out that way, it doesn't. But that still gives them a really good opportunity to, you know, get to the finals against Golden State and win the damn thing.
See, to me, the whole point of this thing,
the
whole point of this thing was the sustainability part of it. That when they amassed all these draft picks and they came right out and said we want something more sustainable. We don't just want Kevin Durant, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce for 3 years again. It was fun. But it was over fast. You know, the one-night stand. That's what that was. Now they want something a little more sustainable. They want a relationship, Mario. That's what they want. And I look at it and say, that's what they should be angling for. The problem in that league is it's hard to do. It's hard to build something long-term and sustainable at a championship level unless you have an absurdly talented high draft pick. It's really hard to do. I don't know if Jason Tatum's good enough as a lead guy. It's close. I mean, he's probably can be part of the group, but is Jason Tatum going to be the centerpiece on championship teams going forward? I don't know.
No, I mean, maybe he plays himself into that, but right now it doesn't look that way. He's good. He's really good, but he's not, you know, an elite NBA player.
Dan is in Lowell. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, guys. Red Sox. You're talking about Price and Sale, re-signing Sale. The only reason why Price is still here is because he didn't opt out because he couldn't get the money.
Correct.
And you had another caller saying, well, I'll give Sale 3 years, $100 million. Even if he hit the market, he wouldn't get that from anybody. And then you talked to Betts. If it was up to me, I'd sign Betts long-term because I don't have faith in Sale or Price making it up through the whole season while going out injured. And down the road, I hate to say it, but you could actually sign Betts and get a good outfielder and a couple good pitches for him down the road.
Dan, do you have any concerns that Betts wants to be here?
Well, it's all about the money. You go back to other Sox who went to the Yankees. If they want to throw stupid money at Betts for 7 years, he would stay. Throw him stupid money and trade him down the road if you can get a lot of talent for him.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go because to me, the... You know, if you sign him to stupid money, you're not going to be able to trade him down the road. That's sort of the whole point. You know, you look at, like, for look at Jacoby Ellsbury in New York. You think they can move him now? You can't move a guy like that. So the question is, to me, if you wanted to give Mookie Betts the money right now, Murray, I'll give Mookie Betts the money. I don't think Mookie Betts wants it. I think that's the problem. I think the Red Sox...
Hasn't that been proven with how many times they've gone to arbitration? And granted, they settled this year, but I think that already proves the point that, you know, it's maybe something else with this guy. Gasper brought up a good point on Saturday, and I hadn't even thought about this. Mookie Betts is from Nashville, Tennessee. What other prominent player on the Red Sox is from that area?
Price.
Right. And so, you know, I think if nothing else, David Price, as excellent as he was in the postseason last year, the one thing he has proven to be is a really good teammate, and he's good in that clubhouse. You have to think that those two guys, you know, talk to each other, and maybe Price has been in his ear and said, look, regardless of what the market is right now, like, you know how it is here. You might be better off somewhere else. You could be better served and a little bit happier with another team in another city. Because David Price certainly doesn't like it here. The way that Betts talks about it and how he's dealt with the team in, you know, negotiations going to arbitration, that to me proves it's a little bit more than money with this guy. Like, I don't know. Maybe those two are kind of thick as thieves and just saying, like, you know, I mean, sure, it's good to get the money here. It's good that we won a championship, but do we really like it here? Not really.
So, you know, I wonder if the Red Sox aren't bending over backwards here a little bit to accommodate Betts. This is the first time they've come to agreement on a contract. Okay, now most fans don't understand all the, you know, when you're up for free agency, when you're not, all that kind of garbage. The bottom line is this. Every year your contract either gets renewed or you come to an agreement until you're eligible for arbitration. So Mookie Betts this year, last year he went to arbitration and he won. This year, for the first time, they settled. Although the Red Sox gave him beyond the midpoint, right? The estimate that I saw online was that Betts was going to get 18 and change in arbitration. The Red Sox gave him 20. And beyond that, they moved him to the number two spot in the batting order. So Allen in Florida is linking Betts with someone else in town. I'm wondering if he's onto something. Go ahead, Allen.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny how you guys change. You want the Celtics to kiss this guy's ass. I would even, you know, I've done all right in life. I'll buy him the plane ticket to leave. This is a piece of garbage that doesn't play in regular season, plays in the All-Star. You forgot about that. You've got this on your brain, and Mookie Betts doesn't want to be here. He's never said one word about him not wanting to be here. I'm sure he's thrilled to be here. Where do you think he wants to go? To San Diego? Maybe he wants to go to Kansas City? Maybe he wants to go to Detroit? They all want to be here. And Chris Sale is a different pitcher than John Lester. And yeah, I'd take a shot with him on a three-year deal. You don't want to sign anybody because you want to see them lose so you guys can have a fun summer. But
no,
you know what? It isn't gonna. But you know what? The Celtics are on your station, Maz, and the Red Sox are on Nesson. Funny how you change, talk differently about both teams.
Allen, just so we're clear, I want to sign both Kyrie and Betts.
Well, I know one thing. Mookie Betts wouldn't miss five games and then play in the All-Star game. What a classy guy. You want him to be the face of your franchise. If you could say the same about Kyrie Irving, then that's what the NBA is all about. Phony. You know what? I haven't looked yet, and I don't like to be wrong. I'd like to bet that stupid, whatever they call that football league, probably got a higher rating than the NBA All-Star game last night.
Oh, I bet.
I have no idea.
It probably did. Allen, just real quick, because yeah. I'm with you on Sale, like, but, you know, because he's their best option, but do you want to see them sign him now?
Well, I mean, if they could get it, this is what it's called, a discount. It's a little bit of a gamble. I understand about his injuries, but I also understand that he's a premier pitcher. And right now, they need these starting pitches, and they want them to be happy because we all know the relief problem, and that's the reason that I'm dying to have them go and get Kimbrel for one more year. This is the year. We know they're going to lose players. So let's try and win one more year. That's all. And it makes sense with the same cast. They have the same cast as last year other than Kelly and Kimbrel.
Okay, so, Allen, who has said that they don't want him to go after a championship this year? Everybody wants to go after a championship this year. The question is whether or not they can keep it together. And you said, I don't want to sign anybody. Not true. I want to sign both of those guys. I want to sign Betts now. My question is whether or not Betts wants to be here. That's what the question is with Betts. And so you can believe all the lip service. We'll play you the sound again from last week if you want, where you can hear David Price talk about Boston, Mookie Betts talk about Boston, and then Chris Sale talk about Boston. We'll play them all for you, and you can tell me which guy sounds most credible and most legitimately invested in remaining here. Because I think it's Sale. Even with that, I would still rather have Betts. I would sign Betts right now. I'm not sure he wants to be here. So how do you fix that? I mean, they're kind of stuck there. So they ride it out. I don't know. Maybe they'll sign Betts this spring. I've told Murray this before. Somebody's going to sign this spring. Someone's going to sign.
You said that weeks ago.
I don't know if it's going to be Sale. I don't know if it's going to be Bogarts. I don't know if it's going to be Betts. Who the hell knows? Now that I think of it, though, it is interesting that neither Henry nor Werner named Rick Porcello. His name didn't come out there at all. So clearly they have no desire to sign Rick Porcello. So this is it for Porcello, I'm guessing. I don't know why that just popped into my head, but it did. So if someone's going to sign this spring. I don't know who it is. They're going to give money to somebody. I have a hard time believing Betts is going to do it based on his behavior to this point. And Bogarts is represented by Scott Boras, who's got Bryce Harper and out on the market now, still looking for work, for crying out loud. He takes everybody to the market. 617-779-0985. I want to touch on the Bruins from the weekend. Did you guys see either of the games over the weekend?
No, not really.
Okay, Friday and Saturday. We'll touch on the Bruins quickly because it's really an unbelievable story what's going on with that team right now. And then we're going to get to some football, too, in the next hour. Both of those coming up.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Back of the net. Doughty gave it away. Straight to the far circle. High slot. McAvoy left to the net. DeBrus backs it off. Centered out in front. They score! The Bruins able to keep the puck in, and Charlie McAvoy found himself out in front and chipped it by Jack Campbell with a minute 13 remaining in regulation. Bruins 3, Kings 2.
It's our own Judd Surratt right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Saturday night. I don't expect that a lot of you stayed up and watched these games. I didn't.
Yeah, I'll be honest. West Coast road trip, weekend. I got things to do. I'll read about it in the morning like I did. And I've seen the Rask save, which is the save of the year. And he continues to play out of his mind. But yeah, I wasn't going to make my weekend around these games this weekend.
Well, look, no. But the West Coast games are hard in any sport. I mean, once they tip them off at 10:30, there's a reason why those ratings are lower than everyone else. People just aren't going to. But I think it's worth touching on because the Bruins beat Anaheim on Friday night. Then they go back-to-back against L.A. on the West Coast. And remember, they're without David Pastrnak now. So they began this whole stretch, we thought, having difficulty scoring goals beyond the top line. Then they go out and they win their first game without Pastrnak and score 6 goals in the process. They beat the Blackhawks 6-3. So fine. It was at home. Now they go out west. And I don't know about you, I was sort of fearing the worst. I thought, here we go. No Pastrnak. They go out west, and this is where the Bruins start losing games 2-1. They beat the Ducks 3-0. Halak shut him out. Probably his best game in I don't know how long.
But his last two have been good, thankfully, because prior to that, it was putrid.
So they win that game 3-0, and then they go back-to-back against the Kings the next night. Bruins are leading the game 2-1 late, and they give up a goal to go 2-2 with under 5 minutes to go. McAvoy then scores there that you just heard the goal. That made it 3-2 with a minute and change left, and then Bergeron scored shortly thereafter in what was not an empty net goal. It was a nifty little play by Bergeron, almost poke-checked the puck into the net. The Bruins win that game 4-2. They've now scored 13 goals since Pastrnak went down. They've given up 5. Tuukka Rask, 11-0-2 in his last 13 starts. Okay, does not have a regulation loss in his last 13 starts. The Bruins as a team are 14-3-4 in their last 21. Just 3 regulation losses in their last 21 games. They're now in second place in the division.
Yeah, you mentioned the last time he lost in regulation was December 23rd.
So he has not lost in 2019. And this whole stretch, if you remember when we were at the Winter Classic, Murray, we were talking about how Halak should have started that game, and they put Tuukka in there, and he played well, and he's been playing well ever since. So, again, I give credit to Cassidy there for sort of sensing that maybe they were about to get Tuukka to go on some sort of run.
That was almost like a prove-it moment for him.
I mean, really. And the save he made the other night. By the way, on that McAvoy goal that made it 3-2, Anze Kopitar, I think the puck went in off of his skate. He was in front. McAvoy redirected the puck. It went off of Kopitar's skate. Kopitar blew a gasket, two-handed a stick across the crossbar and broke it into a million pieces. Absolutely out of his mind. But earlier in the game, Rask made a save like You would not believe. I don't know that we've ever seen Tuukka make this kind of save. Mason, do we have the highlights quick? Do we have the actual highlight, Mason?
2-on-1 coming in. Here's Kempe to the far side. Fired. Ross, a two-pad stack. Lifted the right leg and kicked it out of there with his ankle. Spectacular.
See, now we talk about Ross being a system goalie, and he's one of these guys that just is very quiet, positionally, fundamentally, very sound.
This was some Dominic Hasek type crap.
Off the charts, Murray. I mean, like old school. He went flying across the net.
Like ass over tea kettle.
Yes, he stacked his pads going. It was unbelievable. I mean, in all seriousness, if you have not seen the save, and I'm not someone to get geeked up over one play typically, but to me what made it noteworthy is that it was Rask. It just was stylistically so unlike him to make a play like that. I mean, unbelievable. So we just thought we'd give you a little update on the Bruins. They're playing well. They're second place in the division now. Sixth best record in the league. We got yours about
to say. It's going to be tough for them to keep in second place in the Atlantic right now. But with, 23 games to go? Like, as of right now, they'd be hosting Toronto in the first round. Like, it's going to be tough for them to hang on to that, but pretty damn good. They've been playing over their heads for most of this season.
I mean, really, it's unbelievable. I mean, given the injuries they had early in the year, to be where they are is no small achievement. McBone has your headlines here at the top of the hour. No commercials. And then there was an interesting little report on Pro Football Talk concerning the Patriots here just before we came on the air. Again, today, all the good stuff happened right before we came on the air. It's unbelievable. Chris Sims, you're a Patriot hater. I know you dislike him. I had an interesting little piece of information. We'll play it for you next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.